Glad to have you in our assembly this morning. If you're visiting from the area or if you're visiting from other areas, welcome. We have some folks here for the very first time and some who have come back, and we're glad you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. I want you to go to your New Testament and take a right, and I want you to go all the way to the end, to the book at the end of the Bible, to the third chapter of John's Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And in Revelation chapter 3, attached to the very end of this letter to the church at Laodicea, is a very compelling invitation. It is an invitation that is very practical. It is very personal. It is very simple. Behold, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. Sometimes I think it's good to be reminded of how beautifully simple the gospel is. And I say that because of this reason. I think for the most part, here we are, a church filled with people who are alive to the Word. We appreciate it. We study it. We personalize it. We talk about it. We seek to share it and live it. And if we're not very careful, though, we can get so used to it that we take it for granted. And we forget the purpose. And we lose sight of what the heart of the message is all about. And the heart of the message gets back always to the invite or the invitation of Jesus. An invitation to change your life. An invitation to an abundant life. An invitation to an eternal life. And I think of no verse that better simplifies that call, that invite, more than Revelation 3 and verse 20. Because it penetrates to the very heart of the message. There are six questions that are asked and answered in this one verse. If you have your notes this morning in your bulletin on the back page, there's where we're going. And so there's six questions here. The first question is, who is speaking? Who is speaking? If you read the verse in verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand." Who is that? If anyone hears my voice, I will come in, dine with him, and he with me. Me. Who is it? Well, if you go back to the very first verse in the Revelation to John, you get your answer. Revelation 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Come on down to verse 17 and verse 18 of chapter 1. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." Who is that? Well, that's Jesus. In chapter 2 and verse 18, in another letter, this time to a church in Thyatira, he says, "The Son of God." Verse 18, chapter 2. "The Son of God says this." So when you read in Revelation 3 and verse 20, this invite, me, it's an invitation from Jesus Himself. This is the Son of God. This is the risen, enthroned Lord. This is the sovereign Savior, our King. This is Jesus. And He's sending out all of these letters, seven of them, to seven different churches scattered about. Because these churches are representative of all churches of all times to which He wants to say something. And He does. And in the context of these letters is this invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Second question. What does the door represent? What does the door represent? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Somebody says, well, that's got to be the door of judgment. Because over in James chapter 5 and verse 9 it says, behold, the judge stands at the door. So it's the door of judgment. Well, I don't think so. Not here in Revelation 3 and verse 20. It's not the door of judgment, it's the door of invitation. How do I know that? Because he says, I stand at the door and knock. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need your invitation when it comes to judging you. In other words, at the end of time, when the judge of the world calls your name, he doesn't have to knock and ask your permission. That's not how judgment works. But in Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus is pictured standing at the door and knocking and waiting patiently. The door represents the entrance into your heart. The door represents the entrance into your life. He's saying, I'm standing right in front of you, waiting to see if you will invite me in. But there's something you need to think about. And that is, Jesus is not going to knock at the door of your heart forever. Some of you have heard Him knock for a long time. And you're content, you're okay with Him staying outside and continuing to knock. All of the while you say, well, one of these days I'll open, I'll let Him come in. Well, He's knocking now, but He will not knock forever. Don't we sing about that? There's a stranger at the door. Let the Savior in. He has been there oft before. Let the Savior in. Let Him in ere He is gone. And the next verse, open now to Him your heart. Let the Savior in. If you wait, He will depart. That's what we're saying. And another song, why keep Jesus waiting, knocking at the door? Soon He'll cease His pleading. Yes, forevermore. So you've heard Him knock. And you know who He is, and you know who you are, and you know what He's asking you to do. And you keep shutting Him out. You keep turning a deaf ear. You keep saying, some other time, some other day, I'll let Him in. Well, maybe there won't be another day. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Today He knocks. Tomorrow He may not. Third question, how does He seek entrance? How does He seek entrance into my life? He says in verse 20, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. What does that say? It says Jesus is not going to barge into a life where He's not wanted. He's not going to force Himself into your life. He says, I stand at the door and I knock, and He knocks and He waits. And He waits. There's a painting in London, in St. Paul's Cathedral, by an artist named Holman Hunt. And the painting is entitled, Jesus Christ, the Light of the World. And it is a painting that tries to capture Revelation 3 and verse 20. And what's interesting in the painting is, there is a picture of Jesus standing before a door. And His hand is posed as if knocking. But if you look closely at the painting, there's no doorknob on the outside. The only doorknob is on the inside. And the message is clear. Jesus is not going to force Himself into your life. The only way for the door to be opened is you have to open it. All of which says, ladies and gentlemen, that Calvinism and Protestantism is wrong. That false teaching that says man is saved by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, in which God just comes over you and inexplicably causes you or forces you to obey. That's not going to happen. The will of God is like the will of man. God's not going to impose His will on you any more than you can impose your will on Him. You have to be the one to make up your mind. You have to decide. The choice is yours. Now somebody says, what about Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4? Because it says very plainly there, He chose us. Yes, it does. But don't stop reading there. The statement goes on to say, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In other words, God did not choose individuals to be saved. I think I'll save him and her and her. And him and her will be lost. What that passage says is God chose the way every individual can be saved if they so choose. If they open the door. It is an invitation to everyone. Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. Jesus stands and He knocks at the door of everybody's life. But He's not going to force you to open the door. And look closely at the verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My... Does it say, hears My knock? It doesn't say that. It says, hears My voice. Don't you hate it when somebody calls you on the phone and you answer the phone and you say, who is it? And they say, guess who? Okay. You got to play the guessing game. Jesus doesn't play the guessing game. He knocks and He speaks so you will know who it is. He identifies Himself. He makes His presence known. We sing about that all of the time. We sing about the gentle voice of Jesus, or Jesus is tenderly calling you home while Jesus whispers to you softly and tenderly. We sing all of those songs that talk about that. But how does He do that? Well, He doesn't do that by sending you a private message that He doesn't send anybody else. In other words, He speaks to you and doesn't speak to anybody else. Romans 2 and verse 11 says there's no partiality with God. So He's not going to communicate audibly to you and not to somebody else, because the issue, the invitation is open to everybody. It is to be spoken to everyone. So how does He speak to us? Well, He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit revealed Word. Faith, after all, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when they heard this, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The point is, God may come knocking at the door of your heart in different ways. He may knock through providence. He may knock through circumstances that wake you up to the reality of your responsibility before Him. He may come knocking through sickness or through age and your own mortality. He may come knocking through tragedy and trauma. He may come knocking because He pricks your conscience. God may knock in different ways, but His voice is heard in one way, the same way, to everyone. Acts 11 and verse 14, the angel said to Cornelius, send for Peter that he may come and he will speak words by which you may be saved. And it's those words we speak today. Fourth question, to whom is the appeal made? To whom is the appeal made? Well, he says, if anyone hears. The invitation of Jesus is a personal offer. Put your name there. And it is amazing. It is as personal as it is universal. Jesus is not like the Marines looking for a few good men. Jesus issues an invitation to everyone. The rebel, the prodigal, the outcast, the sick, the lonely, the scared, the weak, the sinner. I've had people say to me, I'm just not good enough to come to Jesus. Nobody is good enough to come to Jesus. And Jesus addresses that in Matthew 9 and verse 12 when he says, it is not those who are healthy who need a doctor. You ever heard somebody say, well, when I get well, I'll go see a doctor. Yeah, probably some husbands in here have said that. That doesn't make any sense. When I get well, I'll go see a doctor. Why do you go to the doctor in the first place? You go to the doctor because you're sick and you need what he has. Why do you come to Jesus? Because you're sick in sin and need what he has. And if you're waiting until you get good enough so you'll deserve it, the only way to ever get good enough is to be forgiven. And the only way to be forgiven is to open the door and respond to the gospel call in obedience to it. Question number 5. What response does he want from me? Well, 2 words. He wants me to hear his voice and he wants me to open the door. I think of the verse read moments ago that Jordan shared with us in Acts 22 and verse 16 when Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized. Don't delay anymore. Don't delay. That's a good question. Why do you delay? That's the response he wants from us, to hear and to open. And last question, what happens when the door is opened? Verse 20, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. The word dine, that's the dine meal. That's the dinner, dine meal. That's the main meal. That's the main course. Jesus is not offering us fast food takeout on the run. That's not what this is. This is the main course. This is the main dine, the main dinner. It's a time for lingering at the table. It is a time for talking and sharing with those closest to us. Jesus says, I will come in and we will dine together. But here's the amazing thing. He brings the feast. You don't have to. He brings it with him. He brings the feast. All he's asking of you is to open the door. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come. And thou shalt be richly fed. What I'm saying to you this morning is there's not anything complicated about the gospel. And the invitation hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Now, Satan's going to try to do everything to keep you from opening the door. He's going to try to keep you busy. He's going to try to keep you preoccupied. He's going to try to keep you self-satisfied. He's going to try to do all of those things. And all the while, Jesus stands and knocks and waits for you. We're going to sing song number 310. I want you to look closely at verse 2 and verse 4. Why keep Jesus waiting? Waiting at the door. Oft he knocketh softly. Softly o'er and o'er. Hear him and open. Open, I implore. Verse 4. Why keep Jesus waiting? Knocking at the door. Soon he'll cease his pleading. Yes, forevermore. Come, poor soul, obey him. Open, I implore. We sing the song of invitation this morning. It's not our invitation, it's his. And it has not changed. And if you need to render obedience to the gospel this morning, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing together.